Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace here on CGMQ from the Eastern Townships of Quebec. My name is Nigel Parker, and I am the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, who bring you this broadcast. We're pleased to welcome you here, whatever your church connection may be, indeed, whether you have a church connection or not. Today, 28th of November, is marked as the first Sunday in Advent. It's the beginning of the countdown to the celebration of Christ's coming amongst us that we remember at Christmas time. Psalm 25 speaks about a man who's watching and waiting for a future. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Thank you.
we draw near to God. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, it's the first Sunday in Advent, the beginning of a season of anticipation and celebration, a time to reflect on every good thing that you've already done for us in Jesus, and also the glorious things yet to be realized. You've made promises you alone can keep. You give peace that can be found nowhere else. You've pledged a hope that you alone can fulfill. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. As Advent progresses, fill us to overflowing with gratitude, humility, and joy. Loving God, grant us intense longings, like the ones that filled the hearts of the prophets. The promise of grace and the Spirit of Christ thrilled them as they anticipated the era of Jesus, the time when you would begin to make all things new through him. Make us hungry for those times too. Grant us joy-filled intrigue, like that felt by the angels, who yearned to peer into what you were doing and to understand what was going on. We are the people the prophets were speaking about. We are the people whom angels envy. Lord God, as we begin to prepare our hearts to receive the one whom you are sending, forgive us for all the times we've missed seeing you in our midst, for all the times we've deserted your presence, and for all the times we've failed to help others find their way. Forgive us, in the name of Jesus, the one who is coming. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that's in him. Amen. I wonder how you get on with jigsaw puzzles. I confess they're not really my kind of thing, but I admire those who are able to grasp a vision of what the picture of how all the tiny bits of a jigsaw puzzle can fit together to make one great big picture. Of course, when you're doing a jigsaw, it helps if you've got the picture in front of you on the lid of the box that contained all the jigsaw pieces, so that you can see the end from the beginning. It's a theme of Advent that we see the end from the beginning. It's in Advent that we think of last things first, last things first. As we count down to the celebration of Christ's coming all those years ago in Bethlehem, we do so in the light of his coming again. Why do we think about the future? After all, what will happen, so they say. But the real danger is that we don't think about the future. For God in his word puts last things first. The whole gospel, the whole reason Christ came, is shaped about what is to come. God has a plan for where he's taking the world, and his people are called to live in the light of that plan. It came. That glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men. Thank you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 25. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. Even as I begin to read those words about the tossing and the roaring of the seas, our minds will immediately go to what's been happening in British Columbia and more recently in the Maritimes, as waves and rain and storm and flood overwhelm communities. It probably feels like the end of the world. Are they signs of the end? We can see the adjectives: anguish, perplexity, terror, roaring and tossing sea, heavenly bodies shaken. Reads like it's coming off the pages of a Hollywood script for a macabre horror movie, the sort that we might try and avoid at all costs. But how do you respond when you're absolutely terrified? It's one of the tricks of TV program makers and Hollywood filmmakers that they actually help us to experience fear, albeit at second hand. Maybe you've seen those survivor kind of television programs where people are put in the middle of a jungle and told to just get on with it, whether it's Naked and Afraid or a British program called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Putting people in danger and terror to test their mettle can be entertainment when you're at a distance. Placing unsuspecting people in contrived situations in terror and using hidden TV cameras to observe how they respond when gripped with fear. When we are gripped with fear, what is it that takes hold? We simply ask, what do I need to protect myself and be safe? It's a time to hide, to make myself small, a time to run away, physically if I can, or psychologically withdraw if I can't. What is Jesus' suggestion? When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The moment of fear and terror, says Jesus, is not the time for playing safe. It's a time for standing tall, sticking your neck out, to seize the day, because the time of horror and darkness is not one that comes to destroy us, but rather is the harbinger of God's good news. It's the beginning of the time of liberation. Three quick thoughts. Firstly, Advent is a time of deep paradox. It talks about the glory of hope, the dawning of light after a long, dark, restless nights, the promised coming of God's rescue plan, a season of pregnant waiting for the coming of new life. But Advent knows that we're not there yet. Advent is not a flight into fantasy. The time of Advent is still deeply conscious of the suffering of the world. Advent knows about the anguish of endless waiting, and it knows about all the people who've gone before us, who died in the expectation that better things were still coming. Secondly, Advent's a season that speaks to the reality of our world. From international politics to the intimate struggles of our own lives, we know deeply this paradox between joyful expectation and abject despair. We live in a world of marvellous medical miracles that brew vaccinations for millions of people as they progress and move on. We see the boundaries of space tourism pace move back, and yet millions of struggle as we still wait the fulfilment of orders for vaccinations for malaria. It's mirrored in our own lives. We know seasons of growth when all sorts of possibilities open up for us, and yet we also know when we feel appallingly stuck and limited and powerless. Advent knows all about that. Thirdly, Advent calls us to be awake. It's very tempting for us to want to run away from the anguish of this season. Our society does it very well. We've turned it into a season of tinsel and coloured lights and gluttony and consumerism. But Jesus warns us not to escape into excess. For the affirmation of God comes down through the ages. Our redemption is at hand. Keep watching for the shafts of light across the eastern sky. God is more present in the God-forsaken anguish of the world than we can possibly understand or comprehend. Let us put our hope in God. Seek God's ways and follow them. Listen to the ones who said his words would never be taken away. It's a season for bringing to God our honest intercessions for the peace and justice and the salvation of the world. A season for us to stand and lift up our heads. Our prayer. We give you our thanks and praise, Lord, for even when the whole earth was thrown into chaos, your tenderness and lasting love are our sure hope. You created the heavens and the earth, and though even they will pass away, the words you've spoken to us are an everlasting covenant of promise. The words of your Son, Jesus Christ, shook the earth and opened our eyes to your coming reign. He was crucified by the enemies of justice, but you raised him to new life and sent his Spirit to restore and strengthen our faith as the day of redemption draws near. We pray for your church today, gathering all around the world, some in tiny churches and others in great cathedrals, to praise you and to hear your holy word. Give us a sense of expectation as we come, and inspiration as we go. Drive away despair from our politics. Revive our dreams of justice and truth. Restore our passion for what's good and right. Establish your just and gentle rule in other areas of the world where there is conflict and where peace has been powerless and violent people have had their day. We ask you to govern the hearts and minds of those who lead our nations and for those in authority that they may act justly with honesty and integrity according to your will. We've read about the end of the world and we thought about the flooding in the Maritimes and in BC, suffering under the storm and rain and flooding. we pray for aid and assistance to reach them, and for the witness of communities of faith in the midst of those troubles. And we pray for others for whom this day will seem long and hard, for those in hospital or ill at home, those struggling with despair or depression, those seeking work, for those for whom this day will be even their last. Comfort and heal all who suffer. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, light of the world, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.